Peter saw a vision of all sorts of animals being let down to earth in a large sheet. A voice said, "Kill and eat." Was this a vision about dietary issues or something else? Welcome to The Good Word. I'm Paul Dibdahl from the School of Theology at Walla Walla University. I'm the host and study guide author of this 13-week series centered on the Book of Acts. Today, our lesson is entitled The Ministry of Peter, and our discussion will focus on Acts chapters 9, verse 32, all the way through about half of chapter 12. My conversation partners are two New Testament scholars and colleagues of mine in the School of Theology, Carl Kosart and Brant Berglund. Thank you for joining me. So, what about this vision? Peter, time of prayer, reflecting, and down comes a sheet out of heaven with all these animals, a mixture of all sorts of animals, those that would be ritually pure and those that weren't. And a voice from heaven says, "Kill and eat."
Yeah, this
delicious,
is
delicious, delicious.
This is a fascinating story because you just envision, you know, Peter up on the roof of this house trying to perhaps get some fresh air. Escaping from down below, and it says it's about the 6th hour, so it is lunchtime, and he falls off into this sleep, and then he has this vision experience of this sheet that comes down. So it's just interesting, the connection, first of all, to kind of lunchtime, we would say, typically, in this vision. This passage is fascinating, though, because often this is a passage that is used to say that God declares unclean foods as clean. In fact, we find that across denominational groups in Christendom. But actually, I think it's a misunderstanding of the passage itself. The text actually says that Peter sees all kinds of animals in this sheet. And I, when I do this with my students, I ask them to give me some names of animals. And, of course, they just jump on and they're like, you know, it's the snake and it's the pig. And
camel.
You know, yeah. All like every unclean, right? And I say, is that it? And they go, well, here's another one, a vulture. You know, they go on and on. And I said, well, yeah, I said, but you only get a C on the quiz because you only got half of it right. I'm like, no, but what? I said, it's all kinds. This is clean and unclean. And so technically, God gives Peter the choice of going to the cafeteria and selecting some, but not the other. But Peter says, I can't eat any of it. I can't eat anything that is common or unclean. And that word common refers to a Jewish belief in defilement by association, where they believed that something that was clean, mm-hmm. a cow, for example, if it were to come in contact with a pig, now in their sense of extreme devotion, they say, we can't even eat the cow now because it's mm-hmm. become contaminated. Mm-hmm. And the response back to Peter is, what God has made clean, don't call common. And so here God is challenging this belief in defilement by association as interpreted by Jews at that time, because they interpreted it as, if you came in contact with a Gentile, you would become spiritually defiled.
The same principle applies.
And so in this case, this is, we might say this is about the conversion of Peter, because he feels that he's too good to associate with Gentiles because they would contaminate his spirituality.
Hmm. I wonder if some might question whether Peter could actually have had that sort of attitude after having walked with Jesus for mm-hmm. some 3+ years. And yet when we read the book of Galatians, and Carl, you've done work in Galatians, and you could tell us probably about the fight of between Peter and Paul. Peter refused to associate with the Gentiles, right, at certain times in his ministry, and Paul actually had to call him on it and say, you know better. And I wonder how much this experience—
It's easy for us to fall back into our traditional ways of looking at life in the cultures that we grew up in, and there's often a repeated call of repentance for each of us, I think.
We go where we're comfortable, and yeah. we just stay there rather than—
Racism, sexism, mm-hmm. you go down the line, it affects all of us, and our focus needs to be on Jesus, otherwise we lose our way.
So you, in some ways, I had queued up here the perfect follow-up question, and you almost answered it already here, but it's easier to look back and see where Peter, you know, was kind of off in his view. Well, he should have known, or, you know, that the Gentiles were God cared about them too, and that he shouldn't have judged them like that. It's more difficult to acknowledge, to recognize our own biases and prejudices against people. And so I wanted to, in a way, it's putting you on the spot. You can distance yourself and if you would like, but who are the people that we're most prejudiced against today? Do we have anyone that falls into the category that Cornelius would have for Peter?
Well, I'd be glad to talk about Brandt.
And thank you. Yeah. How you distance yourself from me. Yeah.
But, you know, it is. It's true. And it's one that's troubling and one that perhaps we need to ask ourselves in prayer. You know, Lord, you know, where do I need to grow? Because in the story, what amazes me is, and we kind of jumped over it to go right to the Peter connection, but
right.
But Cornelius, a Roman soldier, a centurion, a leader of 80 to 100 men, and that his heart's open to God, and God wants to bring him into the truth. But at that point in time, there's no church that Cornelius could go to. Huh. And it takes a vision given to Peter by God to make it possible that Cornelius can actually receive instruction. So how many people are out there that God would love to bring into our communities of faith, but it's not that they're not ready, it's that I'm not ready.
Mm-hmm.
Lord, what do I need to do? What do you need to remove from my life so those people could come?
And I've also wondered, when I've read this story in the past, how come if God could give a vision to Peter and then have Peter go talk to Cornelius, why could not God have just given Cornelius a vision and given him more instruction in who Jesus mm-hmm. was? Why use Peter? Why not just bypass Peter completely and his bigotry? Go straight to Cornelius. Mm-hmm. God already has an open vessel with whom he can talk. He mm-hmm. talks to him here. He says, Cornelius, hey,
yeah.
Cornelius says, yes, what is it, Lord? They're having a conversation. It's fabulous. And yet God says, no, I'm going to use my human vessels to bring the message because it's not just about you. It's about what they need to grow too. Hmm. Peter actually has to have the conversion. It requires Cornelius to be converted.
Hmm. What about this line in Acts chapter 10? It's kind of in the middle of the narrative where Peter says to Cornelius that he now realizes, I now realize how true it is. This is verses 34 and 35 of Acts 10, mm-hmm. that God does not show favoritism, but accepts men from every nation who fear him and do what is right. I want to try to bring that again into our day. What does that mean? God doesn't show favoritism, but accepts people from every nation who fear him, who what honor, respect him, and do what is right.
I mean, that I don't know exactly what you're looking for, but to me the idea is pregnant with all kinds of stuff, that there are people who are followers of God who may not understand and know the name of Jesus, but their heart's open, they're being led, they're being guided, they're being moved by the Spirit. And we can see here just again the inclusive nature of the stories that Luke tells in his gospel.
And the partiality that Peter must have grown up with, saying, I am an ethnic Jew, therefore I'm the accepted of God. And if God's going to do something outside of here, he'll have to use someone else. It's not going to be me. He'll have to do something special. And maybe he has a different plan for the Gentiles, but I know that I'm a Jew. And now this is shocking, really, for the Jew to say, no, God has all people. God is not partial to Jews. He's partial to people, all people, as long as they are. There is a condition. And the condition is that they, you know, they fear him and they do what is right. Fear him. Do what is right.
Cornelius responds to the message of salvation. And there's a baptism that takes place. Is it just Cornelius that's baptized or who is baptized? That's supposed to be an easy question.
Yeah, it's his household is baptized.
So that would be like his wife and what they had, what two, he would have had maybe two kids, three
kids. Household, the term itself could be inclusive enough to include his servants, his children.
Grandchildren, if he's old enough.
Right. So this is like a chief from an African village being baptized and the village comes with him almost.
Well, almost, or it does or in
it
the
does
story, doesn't
with,
it?
Yeah.
It does come with him. So what about that? This idea that is this the only place where this happens in Acts or
Acts 16 with the Philippian jailer as well?
Okay. So this idea that a person of the sort of prominent, the leader of the family system makes a decision, and the whole group then is baptized.
We prize our independence, I think, in our Western society far more than they did. For them, the pater familias, the family father, the oldest living male in the family who is capable leader, made the decisions for the family. Independence, as we understand it, was not as significant. We do put a strong emphasis on individual decisions for baptism. That's why we baptize people who are old enough to make a decision within most Christian communities. That's not always what we see in Acts.
Mm-hmm. But just once again, we see, I mean, and I don't think we want to, I'd be afraid to make the demarcation too extreme between now and then, because in a sense, there is a transition, which is that we need to recognize that each of us has a sphere of influence over people's lives.
This is true.
Mm-hmm. And that sphere of influence can be quite significant for someone in a walk of faith.
Mm-hmm. And parents Good. With their children as well.
Good. Yeah. I'll note here that in Acts chapter 11, Peter is criticized for what happens. And I've heard it in actual formal settings before where people say, well, the believers, the Jewish background believers, were not happy that Cornelius and his family had been baptized, and so that's where the controversy was. But the text makes it plain. Mm-hmm. It wasn't the baptism that was the issue. They were okay. Sure, God's accepted them. Let them be baptized. The issue that they had, the controversy, was that Peter actually went into Cornelius's home and accepted food and fellowship from him. Yes. So it was that social kind of, shall I say, equality or that social fellowship that was the point of controversy. Sure, let God accept them, but don't expect us to welcome them into our homes, or don't expect us to be, recipients of their hospitality or generosity.
And that continues today. I just heard a story from a close friend who was in South Africa during apartheid, and they had invited a group of Native Africans to come to their house and eat Christmas time, use their plates, use their silverware, and the rest of the Christian community basically ostracized them for that action and never invited them over their houses after that because they had broken a social line.
Yeah.
It's just these things continue today.
Yeah. And again, it's easier for all of us to see them in other people
than to see them in ourselves,
and more difficult to see where those lines are in our own hearts. God, help us. Mm. God, help us. Well, we've once again come to the end of our time together. I'd like to thank you, Carl and Brant, for your contributions. Next week, we will be looking at Paul's first missionary journey. I'd also like to thank Abby Wissink, our program engineer. And finally, thank you for listening in. For The Good Word, I'm Paul Dibdahl.
You've been listening to Good Word, a production of the School of Theology at Walla Walla University and KGTS-FM. To order a copy of today's broadcast, you can call 509-527-2194. Thanks for listening, and we'll be here next week at this time with Good Word.